Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, there is already a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. This service is celebrating All Saints' Day and our evening service, All Souls. As we look at the saints who have gone before us, I hope we can draw out the past into the present to give us the courage and the confidence to move ahead into the future. Isn't that what we should be doing all the time as Christians? Though it's usually Christ to whom we look to seek our guidance, and far be it from me to ever suggest that we should stop doing that. However, doesn't mirroring Christ's perfection sometimes seem just that little bit too far out of reach? I know it often does for me. Sometimes, by recalling the lives of the saints, who are, after all, ordinary mortals such as ourselves, we can then see exactly what they have achieved, and which indeed clarifies the potential that we could emulate, but sadly most of us don't. That all probably sounds very depressing, but we must try not to let it be so. As Lucy Winkett wrote, like a journey to the centre of the earth, saints will come close to the heat and the dust of living at the core. Anyone is capable of living this life. But I do think we have a tendency to view saints rather in the light of being superheroes, as those who have achieved for us the unattainable. Young children inevitably at some point become obsessed with all the comic strip superheroes who perform amazing and quite ridiculous don't do this at home stunts, because we know they are impossible for us physically. I believe there was even a super gran, though where she got her energy from I shall never know. I suppose the good thing that comes from this superhero adoration is that the stories are about overthrowing the bad so that good will prevail, and that is surely a worthwhile lesson and exactly what the saints did and continue to do. Those of you who are able, just Google lists of saints and you will get breathtaking numbers from A to Z, proving maybe that there's hope for us all yet to slot in somewhere. But let's view the saints rather as our sisters and brothers who are with us, alongside us, as companions and guides, sustaining us with their prayers and guiding us by their example, along with all those whose Christian discipleship has inspired subsequent generations. And surely the best way to start to move in a saintly direction is by recognising our personal need for God. When we feel emptiness, we need to recognise that it's a craving for the Word of God. That Word, which is a lantern to our feet and a light to our path. But it would be rather flippant of me to stand here and preach that we should all get on with rising to the stature of sainthood, as life does have a habit of getting in the way. Every one of us could tell a story about a time when life was maybe, and sadly is now, an incredible struggle, a sort of death from which we struggle to take that first step. But regardless of how we got there or what the problem is, we always have to remember that Jesus is calling us out of the mess. That's exactly what he was doing for Lazarus in today's gospel. And although he performed a miracle, it was to make a point. And the point, I think, for us today is to have faith in him during our earthly troubles and darkest times. Lazarus was physically dead. As Martha, his sister, said to Jesus, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." He's definitely dead. But Jesus calls him out of the tomb, out of the darkness, out of death. "Lazarus, come out." The miracle of this story was not that Jesus began to call Lazarus out. The miracle was going to be whether or not Lazarus took that first step away from death. This is the make or break moment, a matter of life or death. It was for Lazarus, and it will be for us when we see no way out of the crushing pressures we seem to be under. Will Lazarus take that first step, a first step into the light of a new day, a first step into the fragrance of a new life? Will you take that first step? Will I? Will we as a church? There are a lot of reasons for Lazarus to not take that first step. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha all have their reasons. "Lazarus, come out." I can imagine Lazarus yelling back, "No, I can't. I'm dead. I'm all wrapped up in and bound by death. There's no life left in me. I have nothing left to give. I just can't do it anymore. Besides, it's too dark. I can't see my way forward." I suspect each of us in our earthly life has given reasons and excuses, such as you've just heard, when we feel too bogged down to bother answering our call from the Lord and for not taking that step. Christ, however, is not bound by human reasoning of Lazarus, Mary, Martha, or us. "Lazarus, come out," is Christ's unceasing call to each of us. Think about the first step you took after realizing your life was out of control and you had to change. Or the first step you took after someone had hurt you and asked for forgiveness. Or the first step you took after a loved one had died. First steps are difficult. scary and often overwhelming, and can make us extremely wobbly. But no one else can take that first step for us. But we never do so alone, as Christ is always with us. We call those who have gone before us the saints. They may have died, but their presence is real. Some are named brand saints with a place on the calendar. Others have names that would not be recognised and whose only place is in our hearts. Regardless, they are all saints and they have laid a path before us marked with their footprints of prayers, love, teachings, actions and choices, and sometimes with their blood. They are our guides and encouragers on the path of life and faith. Ours is to be the next first step on that path. This miracle was to show the crowd back then and us today that Jesus had been sent by God and was truly his son. Maybe it also foretells the outcome of the impending crucifixion and that our earthly death is not the end. Let us travel in the footsteps of the saints as we take our next first steps, which are the beginning of learning to walk again, love again, live again. It was for Lazarus, and it will be for us. We sang earlier the words, O may thy servants, faithful, true and bold, strive for thy kingdom as the saints of old, and win with them the glorious crown of gold. Alleluia. Amen.